Thanks very much, Tom. Well, I don't know if it's because people listened to me once that I see at least that side of the room is almost empty now, so at least I was managed to chase about half the audience away. Well, again, in case there's anyone who was not here in the first half, again, my name is Yava Kjærsgaard, and in this talk I'll be talking about kind of a little side study we made on developing a discharge equation, a flow equation for the V-notch from the commercial company called AgriDrain out of Iowa. So I want to acknowledge my co-authors, especially some of our grad students, Sindhuja, Kul, and Govinda, that were the ones that did most of the work here. Also, I do want to mention that this was all work that we did while I was still at South Dakota State University, and I've since moved on to the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, but since this work was done at South Dakota State, I've maintained that in the signature throughout the presentation. And so, just a little bit of background on drainage control structures. It's a device, in case anyone is not familiar with it, that can be installed somewhere on a subsurface drain tile to really usually for one or both of two purposes. One is to manage or regulate the outlet elevation from the tile system, which can be done by inserting or removing stop logs or boards within the control structure. And so the more boards that are added, the higher the head of water has to be to overflow or spill over that those stop logs. And there's a kind of figure shown right here. Shown right here on this schematic. That's our control structure right there. Whoopsie. Huh? Getting a little excited there. Spilling over the stop logs right here. Now the other use of these control structures is to measure the flow of water going through the tile system, and that can be done simply by measuring the thickness of that sheet of water that flows over that spillway, and then a person can calculate the flow rate that's going through the tile system. And so I showed this picture in my previous talk as well, and now I just want to focus on the part of of this illustration that is that are the control structures. And so that's those blow-ups within those circles. And so if we look at the larger one, the three-chamber structure, you can kind of see that the water is flowing in from the left, and then there are those kind of little vertical boards inside, and those are those stop logs that could be inserted into the control structure. In some cases, rather than using two control structures, upstream and downstream of a bioreactor, if the inlet and outlet from the bioreactor is at the same end, we could just use a single four-chamber control structure, and that's what is shown in this schematic right here. That assuming we have water coming in, the main coming in from the field down here, then the water enters into the first chamber of the control structure, passes over a set of boards, and then out through the side into the bioreactor, where there's this distribution manifold. They'll distribute the water at the width of the bioreactor, and then it flows down through the wood chips to the other end where it's collected. And then in this schematic, the return flow just runs in a non-perforated pipe back to the third chamber of the control structure, where it passes over a set of boards, and then is discharged out to a lake or stream or channel. And so by inserting or by measuring the depth of water in the control structure, in this case between the first and second and the third and fourth chamber there, we can make some estimates of the flow rate going through the bioreactor and also the bypass. And so this is what a control structure looks like. This is from a commercial company called AgriDrain out of Iowa. This one has been installed, obviously, on a tile system. just a picture of what it might look like from above. This is a two-chamber structure. The water is coming in on the left. That's the first chamber, and then it flows over a little V-notch here in the middle into the second chamber where it's outlet. And then this PVC pipe over here has been, in this picture, dislodged a little bit. Normally it's out at the side, and then it holds sensors such as to measure the temperature, electric connectivity, and the depth of water inside that first chamber right there. At low flow rates, if that spillway is just a straight board, then that thickness of the nap or that sheet of water flowing over the board is very thin, and it's hard to measure or have an instrument that has enough resolution to accurately measure that. And so another way is just to use a V-notch or a board with a V-notch in it, and those are available from this company as well. And so really the premise of this study was to try and come up with an equation, a flow equation, just relating the depth of water to the discharge through this V-notch using the generalized V-notch equation. That's the one that's shown over there on the right. So it's just the discharge is a function of the discharge coefficient, and then the head of water, the depth of water, raised to the power of 2.5. The picture there is a picture of that V-notch. Now there are a couple of things with this particular V-notch. It's a 45 degree notch, but we're really violating some of the assumptions for this equation, and one of them is that this V-notch is not a sharp crotch at the bottom there. It's rounded, and so that has some implications, and also just with the flow velocity through the control structure might violate some of the assumptions as well. So we set up a system, an independent system in the lab, where we installed a pump and an independent flow gauge on a tank of water, and then connected that to one side of the control structure, and then pumped water through the control structure at different volumes, and then measured the depth inside the control structure with a pressure transducer. And so, again, we have our overhead tank over here on the right, and then pumping it into the control structure over here. And then we are using, again, this pressure transducer to measure the depth of water as it flows over as it spills over the board here over the spillway. And then it's discharged out in just a collecting bucket, and then pumped right back up into the overhead tank. Then our pressure transducer is then connected to a data logger, so we can relatively easily make that relationship. We had some discussion of what type of pressure transducer we should use. There are, of course, different ones out there. Now, this is a very busy table, and I apologize for that, because in our bioreactors, we are using two different manufacturers of pressure transducer. One of them is a Campbell Scientific. It's this the line up here, CS455. It's very good pressure transducer, but has a resolution of about 6 or 7 millimeters, as far as I recall, which is a little bit on the coarse side for an application like this. They're really designed for more groundwater monitoring. And so in our more recent bioreactors, we are using a sensor from Decagon, the CTD sensor, that has a resolution of 2 millimeters, which is more in line with what we were hoping to utilize. And so for this study, we used the Decagon pressure transducer, just so again, so we're consistent and congruent with what we're putting in the field. And so this was the after running through this or cycling through different flow rates, these were the points and the best fit curve we came up with. Along the x-axis there, that's the thickness of the nap, or that sheet of water flowing through the V-notch, and then the discharge in liters per minute is on the y-axis. We were able to run this from about 20 liters per minute. That was kind of the lower end of the specifications of our independent flow monitoring unit there, up to about 150 liters per minute, which is about two-thirds of the way up on the V-notch itself. And then we came up with that equation that's on the lower right there, with a very nice fit in that power function there. So we felt pretty good with that fit. And then we went out into the literature and talked with other folks that has been conducting similar experiments, just to compare and see, well, how does this compare to what others came up with. And so that's what I've tried to show in this very busy figure here. And I apologize, it's maybe a little bit hard to discern one study from another. But again, what we have along the x-axis there is the depth of water above the crotch of the V-notch there in centimeters, and then the flow rate in liters per minute on the y-axis. And then we're looking at five different studies that has done similar experiments, either actual measurements like we did or more theoretically derived curves. And so there are really sort of two curves, if you will, that seem to kind of separate a little bit, especially at higher flow rates. There is the curves that were developed by Laura and Richard Cook. That's the green circles and the red squares. They seem to follow, trend each other really well. And then our study, that's the purple circles, the Parker Band study after the grad student that did most of this work, they seem to track each other really well. And then there's another sort of family of two curves there, Hikins and then Larry Gearings out from Cornell, that kind of has a little bit less of a slope. I'm not sure why that is. I talked to Larry about it, and it's the same type of structure and the same type of V-notch he's using. So I'm not sure why that difference is there. But certainly at the high end, it's a difference of maybe 20% on the flow. So it's somewhat substantial. So I guess in conclusion, we are pretty happy with the curve, even though we weren't able to run it up over the full range of flow rates as others have. But so for all practical purposes in our studies, we are using our curve for lower flow rates, and then we can seamlessly use Richard Cook's flow rate there or equation for higher flow rates. So that's what we have done. So I guess that was the study. One thing I wanted to mention as well, Tom mentioned it. Oh, sorry, there are even conclusions. There you go. And so there certainly is a need for robust calibration equation. There's a lot of studies, a lot of measurements going on of individuals that are making this type of measurements. And the flow volumes, that's a very important part of that to get to the loads that we're looking at, or just estimating the flow rates through the tile system, the depth of water we're draining. And then we found that equation with those coefficients listed right there fit pretty well to our monitor data. But again, it's just for the interval between 20 and 153 liters per minute. And then this equation compares pretty well with other studies. Then what I wanted to mention, and Tom mentioned that already, that for anyone who's interested and might not have it on your calendars yet, there is the Managing Denitrification in Agronomic Systems community that we have our business meeting tomorrow afternoon, 3:10 to 4:10 over at the Hyatt in Shoreline B. I think it's down on the first floor. And so if your time and are available, I certainly strongly encourage you to show up. I think there was going to be refreshments. Even so, if nothing else, that'll be something hopefully that could entice you to come. So with that, that was what I had. Thanks very much.
Questions? I was going to say, you had me worried when you were. I'm glad. I like your results because when you use Cook's equation, I was a little worried you're doing that. I thought, oh man, what is this different? But so it is good that.
Well, and that was really the background for the study was Exactly that. Since there were those different curves out there, and so our best solution was that, dang it, we're going to try and do it ourselves as well, and see if we can come close to anything that's out there or describe in any other way. Yeah. Laura?
Did you say the size of the control structure?
The 6-inch
control structure that you...
Yeah, I did not say that. But yes, it was a 6-inch control structure.
Do you know the aggregating phenol spheres, if you have an 8-inch or a 10-inch structure, is the V the same? Do you know?
That is my understanding, they are the same. And
same
yes, and also, that's my understanding from
well,
from
all, yeah, you're saying, yeah, both all sides of the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, no, they are using CNC. CNC machine to cut them, so they are the same every time. No, as opposed to if it was a person manually doing it, then they could vary a little bit, but they are the same. Yeah. Oops.
How about in the field, maybe these control structures aren't exactly straight up and down, and does that make any difference? No.
Potentially, it could. I'm not sure how much, but again, so that would be another reason to make sure that they are put in straight. I know when we put ours in, that was something we were careful trying to get them in straight.
I know everyone tries. But
yeah, but that's a good point. That's a good point.